सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। द्यूतं क्षलयतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम् जयोऽस्मि व्यवसायोऽस्मि सत्त्वं सत्त्ववतामहम् वृष्णीनां वासुदेवोऽस्मि पाण्डवानां धनञ्जयः मुनीनामप्यहं व्यासः कवीनामुशना कविः दण्डोदमयतामस्मि नीतिरस्तिजिगीषताम् मौनं चैवास्मि गुह्यानां ज्ञानं ज्ञानवतामहम्। Continuing the description of his vibhutis, Lord Krishna in the 39th verse now continues, Yachapi sarva bhutanam bijam tadaham arjuna natadasti vinayat syat maya bhutam characharam. Yachapi sarva bhutanam bijam tad aham arjuna. Here Arjuna, I am the very bijam. Bijam means a seed. Here it means the cause. Sarva bhutanam bijam. That is the cause of all the beings. Here Arjuna, I am the cause of all the beings. Ishwar Lord becomes cause as Ishwara. As Mayopadika Chaitanyam, you see, Brahman becomes the cause of the universe, the intelligent cause, the material cause, as Mayopadikam Chaitanyam. Nirupadikam Brahman cannot be the cause. It is devoid of the ideas of cause and effect. So here, of course, Lord Krishna is describing his glory mainly as Mayopadika Chaitanyam or Brahman, with the upadhi of maya, which we call savishesha brahma, sopadikam brahma or saguna brahma. So I am this cause of all the beings. Here beings can mean all the five elements, or beings can mean all living beings, so whatever there is in the creation, I am the cause. But how do you say that, O Lord? I was born of my mother, my father and mother are the cause of me. How do you say you are the cause? In the 14th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Mama yonir mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhavas sarabhutanam tato bhavati bharata. He bharata, he Arjuna, this maya is my yoni in which I inject the power or energy, and all the beings are born of my maya. And therefore, not only the Lord is the creator cause of the universe in the beginning of creation, all along, all the time. Sarva yonishu kauntaya murtaya sambhavantiyaha tasam brahma mahadyonihi aham bija pradaspita. So Lord Krishna says that in all the embodiments, in all the yonis, in all the species, in all the embodiments, whatever progeny is born, you know, so, human beings give rise to birth through their children and all other living beings also, and then other plants and whatever. So, whatever is born anywhere, my maya is the cause, And aham bija pradaspita, I am the one that imparts the seed, and maya is the yoni. Thus, wherever any birth takes place, Lord Krishna says, I am the cause. Through my maya, I become the cause of all the beings. Meaning that, even the parents are apparently the cause, all right, but then if you look into it, ultimately, it is Ishvara who is the cause. So, if you and I also, Ishvara is the real pita, and maya is the mata, you know, this is because, yaccha visara bhutanam bijam, so that is the cause of all the beings I am. And what kind of, in the 7th chapter it was said, bijam sanatanam, I am the cause, which is eternal cause, or immortal, changeless cause. Normally what happens is, a seed is the cause of a plant or a tree. But then, by giving rise to birth of a sprout, ultimately the seed gets destroyed, seed no more remains the seed. So usually our experience is that the cause also disappears after giving rise to the effect. So Lord, are you also cause like that, that you give rise to the effect in the form of the beings in the world and then you also get destroyed? He says, no. Bijam sanatanam. I am the eternal cause, meaning that giving rise to the effects in the form of creation, I ever remain unchanged, ever remain the same. And so wherever any effect is, Lord Krishna, Lord says that I am the cause. Thus, the vibhutis are described. In all these verses, Lord Krishna has described his glories. Prakaran upasamharartham vibhuti sankshepamaha. Prakaran upasamharartham. Now for concluding this chapter, concluding this discourse, concluding this topic. Prakaran here means topic. Concluding the topic of this vibhuti or the glories. Vibhuti sankshepa. In sankshepa, brief, Lord Krishna now tells the glories. That also I wanted to mention that Vyasa, when talking about Vyasa, there is a Vyasa Paddhati also. Vyasa Paddhati and Samasa Paddhati. Vyasa means saying something elaborately. Samasa means saying the same thing briefly. So, Vyasa and Samasa. Sometimes you say something in a capsule form and then elaborate. Or often, having unfolded a topic elaborately, then you summarize it also in a capsule form. So Vyasa and Samasa, that's how the word Vyasa also known, because he elaborated Mahabharata and all Puranas and everything, all elaborate. So, then now anyway, coming back here, in this now, so Samasa, because Vibhuti Sankshepa. Now Lord Krishna says in half a line, in Sankshepa in brief, in summary, all his glories. What is it? Natadasti vinayat syat. Maya bhutam charat, it is syat and not syan. A takara becomes nakara by the rules of sandhi, because people chant natadasti vinayat syan usually. It should be natadasti vinayat syat. Maya bhutam characharam. There is no chara and achara. Moving and non-moving. Chara means moving, achara means non-moving. A chara means sentient, achara means insentient. There is no moving or non-moving. Sthavara and jangama, other words, sthavara and sthita, which is non-moving, jangama, mobile, mobile and immobile, moving and non-moving, sentient, insentient, whatever there is in this creation. Natad maya vinasyat, there is nothing in the universe, Lord Krishna says, that can be without me, which can exist without me. Whatever there is. Immobile things like, great things like Himalayas, all the big mountains and things like that, also mobile things like, you know, vayu, the water, the air, all of this keep on flowing all the time. There are living beings who are immobile, like the trees and plants. And of course, living beings are mobile. So inert and sentient, mobile and immobile, whatever there is in the universe, there is nothing which can exist without me. So existence is my glory. that whatever is because of me. Maya apakrashtam parityaktam niratmakam shunyamitasyat. Lord Krishna says that if I am not there in any given thing, of course that cannot happen. You know, it is not possible for the Lord to withdraw himself. You know this jokes about Akbar and Birbal. And so, once Akbar, the emperor, asked Birbal, his minister, he says, Birbal, who is the greatest in this universe? Jahan pana, O emperor, you are the greatest. What do you mean? I thought God was the greatest. No, you are greater than God. See, that is a way of flattering, you know. And so these people are very well versed in the art of flattering. You are even greater than God. How can it be? He says, look, you can drive away somebody from your kingdom. God cannot. So, you can accomplish something that even God cannot accomplish. God cannot drive away anybody from his kingdom because everything is his kingdom. And nothing is separate from Ishvara, therefore it cannot be that. So even to say that, without me the thing would become niratmakam, shunyam, void, non-existent, that is also just, you know, intellectually. It is not possible that there is something without Ishvara because he is sat or existence. And any object is asti, bhati, priyam. That asti, bhati, priyam. That sat, chit, ananda is Ishvara. There cannot be anything. What is the thing? A name and form. Nama and the rupa. So no name and form can be without asti, bhati, priyam. Just as with reference to pots and pans created from clay, there cannot be a pot or a pan without clay. Clay says, if I withdraw myself, there will be no pot. Golden ornament, there cannot be ornament without gold, because gold is the very self of the golden ornaments. The clay is the very self of all the clay pots and pans. The water is the very self of all the waves. And so also, Lord says, I am the very self. Sarvatmadatmakam sarvam. I am the self of all. And a thing is what it is because of me. Eyes can see because of me. Ears can hear because of me. Mind can think because of me. The speech talks because the organ of speech talks because of me. You breathe because of me. You are because of me. So whatever is because of me. Without me, Lord Krishna says, a thing cannot be what it is. A thing cannot exist. A thing cannot be. I am the one that imparts satta and sphurti, existence and life to everything that is. So, nadadasti vinayasyat maya bhutam characharam he parantapa. Lord Krishna addressed Arjuna as parantapa, paresham shatrunam tapajanakaha. Parantapa. Para and tapa. Para means others, meaning the enemies. Tapa means tapajanaka, one who scorches them. So he, Arjuna, is called parantapa because in his very presence the enemies will feel scorched. Like in presence of fire, how he feels scorched. In presence of hot sun, how he feels scorched. So also in the presence of Arjuna, the enemies were, you know, feeling scorched. He was called parantapa. But here, the enemies are of two kinds. One are the external enemies, other are the inner enemies. What are the inner enemies? This krama, krodha, lobha, the lust, anger, greed, all of these are inner enemies. And Arjuna is parantapa, even with reference to the inner enemies, because he scorches the inner enemies also. Hey parantapa. So, Lord Krishna now ultimately addresses in the next verse, Nantosti mama divyanam vibhutinam parantapa. Esa tu deshatah proktah vibhuter vistaromaya. So here Shankaracharya says that the earlier line was the Vibhuti Sankshepa. What is it? Natadasti vinayasyat maya bhutam characharam. That there is nothing sentient and insentient which can exist without me. Madhusudanji says this is the Sankshepa. Prakaram Upasamhar. Now, in this verse, Lord Krishna in fact tells us, Nantostimam divyanam, concluding this topic now. That the Vibhuti were told in nutshell, here now the Lord concludes the topic. Nantostimam divyanam, Vibhutinam, Parantabhe Arjuna, there is no anta, there is no end of my divine glories. There is no end. There is no count to my divine glories. So, you heard this Swami Pratyekbodhananda, you know. Ishvara is sarvajna, is omniscient, you know. Ishvara is all-knowing. So, he should know everything. So, somebody asked Ishvara, "Oh Lord, do you know your end? You know? Do you know your end? If Lord says, I know, that means he becomes limited, if there is an end. I don't know, that means you are not omniscient, you know. These are all just the tricks, you know. Of course, Mahatmas will find some answer to this also. He says, what? I know that there is no end, you know. Something like that would be the answer. But Lord Krishna says, sarvajna. Nahi Ishvarasya sarvatmanah divyanam vibhutinam yatta shaktya vaktum jnatum va kenachit. Lord Krishna says, nobody whatever can ever describe that my glories are such and such. Even sarvajna, even the omniscient one also in fact is not possible. Even if he knows, he cannot describe them. There is a traditional verse which says, asita giri samam syat. Kajjalam sindhu patre surataru varashakha lekhani patramurvi likhati yadi grihitva sharada sarvakalam tadavitava gunanam ishaparanayati. He isha, O Lord, tava gunanam paramnayati. There is no para, there is no other end, there is no end to your guna or your glories or to virtues. Even if Saraswati, who is the goddess of knowledge, keeps riding, and what kind of riding equipment Saraswati has? Asita giri samam syat kajjalam. Imagine kajjalam, meaning the, ink. Yeah. So, imagine that the ink means the powder from which ink is made. Kajjalam, you know, what they apply in their eyes is also called kajjalam. Suppose there is a whole mountain of this kajjalam. Mountain of ink. Asita giri samam syat kajjalam. If there is the kajjalam or the ink of the quantity of a mountain, sindhu patre. Patra is what? Sindhu in the ocean. Because you must actually take a little bit from this, dip it in water and then take it. Because it's a powder. And therefore you dip your pen in the water, take a little bit of this and then write. So, there is a patra, the container of the ocean in which there is this ink of the size of a mountain. And then she has to write. Where will she write? Lekhani. And then, what is it? Surataru varashakha lekhani. You require a pen. So, pen is what? Surataru varashakha. There is a wish-fulfilling tree in the heaven. A branch of that tree, you know, becomes the pen in the hand of Saraswati. Then you must have a paper. Le patram urvi. The whole earth is the paper. Whole earth is the paper. A long branch of the wish-fulfilling tree is a pen. There is an equal to mountain, the ink. Equal to ocean, the water. Meaning that Goddess Saraswati, who is Goddess of knowledge, has inexhaustible resource to write. That's all it means. So this is the kalpana, this is the imagination of a poet. As to how to supply Goddess Saraswati inexhaustible resources to write. Lekhani patramurvi likheti yadi gruhitva sharada sarvakalam. Sharada Saraswati also, taking all these resources, she keeps writing sarvakalam all the time. Day and night, if Saraswati also keeps on writing your glories, tadapitav gunanam isha paranayati. Even then, O Ishvara, O Lord, tava gunanam param nayati. There is no end to your virtues, there is no end to your glories. So Lord Krishna says, nantostimo divyanam vibhutinam parantapa. He parantapa. Anta means yatta, this much. You know? So kasya stotavya kativida guna kasya vishaya. Says Mahimna Sotra, Sakasya Stotavya. Who can actually praise the Lord? For praising Him, you must include all the virtues and all the glories that He has. Kativida Gunaha. Who can ever count how many gunas or virtues or glories He has, and therefore, who can do justice in describing Lord? Nobody can. Even Lord Himself cannot do. The Lord Krishna is the Lord whose glories He is describing. Even if I also cannot, even if I keep on describing to you day and night for infinite time, still it will not end. Nantostim divyanam vibhutinam parantapa. These are all divyanam vibhutinam, my divine glories. So, all are glories, but of them, Lord described a few selected divine glories. Then what did you do so far, O Lord? Yeshatu uddeshatah proktah. Uddeshata, uddesha or ekadesha is the same. Tasil pratyaya. So uddeshata, ekadeshata. That ekadeshena is in Tritiya Vibhakti. So what I have done here, Arjuna, is just to describe one little fraction of my glories. Eshatu uddeshata proktaha vibhutehe vistaromaya. Mama vibhutehe vistaraha or vistaraha. Of my glories. You know, of the infinite glory, countless glories of mine, I have described to you only a few selected glories. For what purpose? As you said earlier, for the purpose of meditation. So that we can meditate upon God. So this chapter, Bhakti Yoga, is meant for upasana. So first is worshipping Lord all along. First worshipping Lord with our karma, the duties, that's called karma yoga. Then the mental worship of Lord. So these middle chapters from 7 to 12 are essentially meant for upasana or mental or meditation upon the glories of the Lord. Meditation upon Lord. That's called upasana. Meditation upon Brahman or God with attributes. And so that is why these attributes are described here for the purpose of meditation. Anuktapi Bhagavata Vibhutihi Sangrahitum Upalakshanam Idamuchyate. So whatever things are not described by Lord. But Lord, you did not say this. Hey, you did not say that you are Bhima among these people and you are this among, you know, you didn't say you are Balarama among the strong. How come you didn't say that? You know, this is what we, Swami, how come you didn't say that thing, you know? So after the whole lecture is over, you think that, oh, it was a very nice discourse and somebody, but Swami, you didn't say this thing, you know, that you said the other day. You didn't say then somebody else says, you didn't say this particular thing. All right. And so, there is no end to what you can say. Therefore, sangrahitam. So, Lord Krishna also may not have included many glories that could have been stated here. And therefore, to summarize, to include all of them, in the next verse, Lord Krishna says, Yad vibhuti mat sattvam Shri madurjita mevava Tatta devava gacchatvam Mamate jamsa sambhavam. Yad vibhuti mat sattvam Yad sattvam vibhutimat. Whatever sattvam means a thing. Anything that enjoys existence is a sattvam. So anything in the universe, where it is sentient or insentient, live or not live, because not that only the live, living beings alone manifest the glories of the Lord, all the inert things also manifest the glories of the Lord, yet just Satvam, whatever object there is in this universe, Vibhutimata, that possesses Vibhuti, glory or majesty. Here, Arjuna, wherever you find the expression of glory or majesty, in whichever being, it can be your enemy also, you know, anybody. Wherever you see a glory or majesty, oh, look at this tiger, you know, so majestic, the lion is so majestic. Yes, the majesty of the lion. So that is the glory of the Lord. So whatever, without any kind of reservation, without passing any judgment, that this is a cruel animal, you know, the Lord's glory cannot be in there, this is a sinner, this is an evil person, without passing any judgment at all. Wherever you see, in Ravana also you can see the glories. Yeah, so Rama can see, it would be difficult for us to see. Because we have our own, you know, preconceived notion of where the glory is, what the glory is. But Mandodari saw the glories of Ravana, he described them very elaborately also, particularly after he died. Wherever you see majesty, Srimat, whatever object you see as possessed of any kind of beauty, Srimat, Shri Lakshmi, any Shri also means prosperity, Shri or Lakshmi means splendor, fortune, prosperity, wealth, beauty, charm, all the meanings are there in the word Lakshmi and others also. So what Shri means Lakshmi. Wherever you see Shri, wherever you see beauty, charm, splendor, brilliance, prosperity, beauty, wealth, wherever you see that, recognize that to be my glory. Srimata Urjitam. So whenever you see Urja, Urja means energy or the power. So whenever you find someone energetic, powerful, possessed of vigor or power or energy, so whenever you see anything or a being possessed of glory or splendor, possessed of the beauty or the prosperity or the fortune or charm, or wherever you see any courage, vigor, energy. Tattadeva avagacchya, avagacchya, hey Arjuna, may you know, mama tejam sambhavam, all of this is the product of my teja amshaha. So, here tejas also means power. Hey Arjuna, may you know that there is merely a manifestation of fraction of my power, not my whole power. So Lord Krishna says, I am possessed of infinite power, infinite knowledge. All the Shaktis are in you know, limitless. That's why he's called Bhagavan, because he possesses sixfold majesties. Aishwaryasya samagrasya, dharmasya yashasaha shriyaha, vairagyasya atha mokshasya, sharnam bhaga itingana. The six are called bhaga. Aishwaryasya, he possesses samagra aishwarya, he possesses total overlordship. Meaning that he lords over everything, there is nobody who lords over him. There is nothing in the universe which he does not control or does not lord over or does not rule. He is absolute ruler. Aishwarya samagrasya, dharmasya. But thank God that his absolute rule can only work if there is dharma or righteousness. He possesses total righteousness, meaning that his rule is always based on what is fairness or what is right. There is never unfairness, no injustice, nothing unrighteous in the rule of Ishvara. It can be the rule of human being, of course, because human being is capable of being unrighteous. But Ishvara is not even capable of being unrighteous. Yashasaha, he possesses yashas or the fame also in total measure. Shriyaha, he possesses Shri. And as Shri means Lakshmi. Can be wealth, splendor, prosperity, beauty, charm. Vairagyasya, he possesses vairagya, dispassion, meaning he has no agenda at all. What is vairagya? Freedom from agenda. And what is raga? Having all kinds of agenda. So your agenda for everybody. What this person should be, what that person should do, should not do, etc. Agenda for everybody. And when they fail to fulfill our agenda, then it hurts us, you know. So it is not that that person has hurt me. It is my agenda that has hurt me. Because I have an agenda for that person. And that person doesn't even know that I have that agenda. Sometimes the person may know and may not be able to fulfill my agenda, even if they want. Sometimes they may not even care, why should I worry about what your agenda is, you know. And so, people whose agenda or expectations are, they really become vulnerable and all kinds of guilt, hurt will come to them. But Ishvara has no agenda at all, vairagya. Total despair, total freedom from agenda, total freedom from likes and dislikes or attachment and aversion. Because jnanam, he possesses knowledge also in totality. That's why it's called Bhagavan. All of this is Shri. All of this is glory. So Lord possesses glory in the totality. And what is this universe? Universe is nothing but the manifestation of this glory. But then Arjuna, do not think that the universe in fact is a manifestation of my entire glory. Only a part of my glory is manifest as this universe. Anything, because everything is limited. Any object, however glorious or great it is still limited. And therefore, even though the Lord's glory is infinite, still, the medium through which that glory manifests is limited medium. There can be electricity which is 33,000 volts or 66,000 volts can be there. But this poor bulb can only manifest this much, that's all. Electricity can do anything. But it is a limitation of the bulb where the glory of electricity is manifest as light. This bulb is so little, therefore the glory is manifest, that is so limited. So each one of us manifests the glory of the Lord. Understand that nobody is free from this glory. Everyone and everything possesses that glory in one measure or the other, which is nice thing to know. And particularly when you feel jealous, one of the problems that human being has is jealousy. And this verse can be very useful in dealing with our jealousy. Other living beings have no jealousy. There is no jealousy. As our Swamiji says, a cow does not feel jealous of another cow. This cow has all broken horns, another cow has such shapely horns, then this cow doesn't feel that, you know, I'm so ugly, this is so beautiful. No such complex. If the cow is that complex, then human beings would have a lot of business because then cows would have to go to plastic surgeons, beauticians. Imagine a buffalo. Think that I am black in color and look at this cow, she is white in color, so I should change my color. I am sure human being will develop some technology by which he can change the color of buffalo. Thank God for buffalo, that it doesn't have a complex. But then, there is no comparison, there is no jealousy. I'm not praising those animals, I'm just showing here how when a person, there is no comparison, no complex, and there is no comparison, there is no jealousy. See, all complex are born of comparison. I keep on looking around and compare myself with others and judge myself. I judge myself either superior to somebody or inferior to somebody, and whenever I judge myself inferior or lacking, then this jealousy arises. So really jealousy towards somebody arises from a sense of lack that I feel about myself. So whenever jealousy comes, we should remind ourselves. Why is there jealousy? Swamiji, look at his house, you know. Look at his wealth, how prosperous he is, and look at my little hole in the wall, you know, whatever. So this is what I have. Look at his car, my little crummy little car. Like this comparison, you know. So I'm inferior because my car is inferior. I'm inferior because my house is inferior. It's amazing how we make all kinds of judgments about ourselves. It's all right to say that your car is not as good as this car, but how do you say you are not as good, you know? But how do we identify the car, identify the house, identify the salary, with age, with weight, with color, with all kinds of things identify and judge ourselves? Really, human being is a miserable creature. Miserable creature. There's no one who is more miserable, as miserable or more miserable than human beings. Other people's misery is far off. And jealousy is one of the causes, one of the significant causes of which causes misery to us. So whenever this jealousy arises, when I find somebody better than me, more glorious than me, more successful than me, more accomplished than me, then immediately I remind, what is it? Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam. That sattva, that person has vibhuti. He has his glory. He has intelligence. You are not as intelligent as he is, so he goes ahead. Yeah. He is brighter than you are. He is more skillful than you are. He has more social skills than you have. He knows how to wine and dine and get his way ahead, and you don't know how to do that. Yeah. All these are skills. They are all glories. So whenever you see any glory, rather than feeling jealous, remind yourself, that's the glory of Ishvara. This person is merely a medium, a vehicle for the manifestation of Ishvara's glory. And so, what you appreciate is Ishvara. Moment Ishvara comes, all jealousy goes away. We cannot be jealous of Ishvara. See, we cannot be jealous of a buffalo also. We cannot be jealous of anybody. We can be jealous. See, jealousy can exist only in samana jatiya. We can be jealous only of other human beings. We can't be jealous of a fish. Oh, see how it swims, you know, I can't swim. I never feel that. Or jealous of a tree, how tall it is and see how short I am. I don't feel that way. Because comparison always occurs between the members of the same class. So if I was jealous only of human beings, and usually men feel jealous of men, and women feel jealous of women. I don't think I feel jealous of a woman also, of a woman also. Oh, how beautiful she is. I may appreciate that, but I don't feel that I am, you know, there's no jealousy. But when a man is more handsome and taller and this and that and whatever kind of problems I have, you know, so then that jealousy is created. We should remind ourselves, it is the glory of Ishvara. The moment you shift it to Ishvara, Ishvara doesn't belong to our class. Therefore, there cannot be jealousy with Ishvara. It's a very great advantage. So this verse is very important. Yadyat vibhuti matsa. Wherever you see any splendor, wherever you see any glory, Srimad, where you see any prosperity, charm, beauty, splendor, Urjitam, wherever you find energy, vigor, courage, immediately remember that this is a manifestation of a part of the glory of Ishvara. Ishvara possesses glory in the infinite measure. A part of the glory is evident here. Because the medium is limited, the manifestation of glory also is limited. But Ishvara's glory. And then I feel comfortable. Okay. This fellow is not great. He's great as it is Ishvara. Okay. Sometimes when you come to know of this kind of thing, oh, this fellow got many more marks than I did in a particular test, then somebody tells you, Swamiji, don't worry. You know, his father is a doctor, and so he has this kind of connections, and so he got. Then I feel really okay. Why do I feel little? He's not very smart. His test scores do not reveal his smartness. So I'm not worse than him. He's not better than me. Then it's okay. Comfort. How do we derive comfort, you know? This is how our whole life goes, you know, in this kind of stuff, really. But bring in Ishvara. That it is Ishvara, the manifestation of Ishvara's glory. Then the jealousy will go. And the pain, that burning that arises in my mind. When somebody progresses, there is burn in my heart. I have a heart burned. So that's due to the jealousy that will go. And this being said, also for us to appreciate the Ishvara. With everything, as I said, manifests some glory. There's nothing in the universe which doesn't have some glory. Everything has beauty. Everything has splendor. Everything has energy. In its own way. An ant also has energy. An animal also has. Human being also has. Everything has What we are nothing but the manifestation of glory of Ishvara. Somebody says that all of us are walking beams of sunlight, you know, because all the energy that is there on the earth is nothing but energy of sun, and all of us are products of that energy, so we are all walking beams of sunlight. You say, we are all walking beams of the glory of Lord. Why sunlight? Light of Ishvara. What kind of light? Light of His glory. He is a sun, glorious sun. And His beams are there, and we are all walking beams of the glory of Ishvara, who is His glorious sun. Then you are also manifest of Ishvara, I am also one. Then Ishvara has chosen this kind of manifestation in me, some other manifestation in you. What manifests does not matter. What matters is that whatever is manifestation of the glory of Ishvara. Evam avayavashah vibhuti muktva. This Lord Krishna describes His vibhuti part by part. Sakalyena tamah. Now, in totality, Lord Krishna describes His glory in the last verse, verse number 42.
Athava bahunaitena Kim jnatena tava Arjuna Vishtabhyahamidam kratsnam Ekam shena sthito jagat.
Athava, on the other hand, or Arjuna, take it this way. He Arjuna, etena bahuna jnaten kim tava. What is the use of your knowing all this that I have described? I have described some glories of mine, even if you know all of them, so what? You can never know the whole of Ishvara. Arjuna, understand that the ultimate goal in life is served or achieved by knowing Ishvara in the totality. What is all described is a part. Yes, the manifestation or the description of the glory in the part is very useful for us for meditation. But we should not stop there. We should not think that by meditating upon one aspect of Ishvara that we have done what needs to be done. These aspects of Ishvara are to be known and meditated upon, so that we know the whole of Ishvara. That is when the true knowledge has taken place. And therefore, now Lord Krishna draws attention of Arjuna from the part to the whole. Athava bahunayetena kim jnatena tava Arjuna. He Arjuna, even if he knows all the glories that are described and many other glories also, still you will know only part of me. And don't think that my glories only are confined to what I have described. In Mahindra Stotra this is said, Tvamarkastvam somaha, Tvamasi pavanastvam hutavaha, Tvamapastvam vyoma, Tvamudharaniratma, Tvamiticha. Saying that, O Lord, this eightfold is your glory. The five elements, the space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and the conscious being, these are, you are all this. Parichinnam evam, tvai parinata vibhratu giraha. O Lord, some so-called learned people describe you in this way, that you are this, you are the, you are space, you are air, you are fire, you are water, you are earth, you are sun, you are moon, you are the conscious being. In this manner, some so-called learned people describe you. Thus, using a language of limitation about you, that this is what you are. Navidmastattattvam vayamhetuyattvam nabhavasi. But we do not know where you are not. We do not know what you are not. Meaning that it is all right in the first step. We say that this is Ishvara. These are all glorious things that are Ishvara. But our knowledge of glory of Ishvara should not be confined to that. We should realize that what is Ishvara. Not only what is manifest. Not only what is manifest is Ishvara. Lord Krishna says, Athava bahunaitena kim jnatena tava Arjuna. Here, Arjuna, even if you knew the whole universe, the manifestation of my glory in the whole universe, even then, what use is that? Still, you do not know me in totality. Why is it so?
Vishtabhya ahamidam krishnam jagat ekam shena sthitah.
Do you know?
Vishtabhya visheshatah stambhanam.
Because whenever, whatever you know, you always know incomplete. You only know part. And knowing part or incomplete me is of no use. You should know the totality that I am. What is you, sir? O Lord,
Vishtabhya visheshatah stambhanam drudham kritva. Sustaining, holding, supporting this whole universe in a firm manner.
Realize that I am sustaining or supporting this whole universe. How are you doing it?
Ekam shena.
Ek avayavena. By part of me, I sustain the entire universe. I pervade the entire universe. Meaning here, Arjuna, the whole universe, which is glorious. What to talk of the universe? I mean, people just marvel at this creation. Our Swami, you can spend any length of time just marveling at the, look at the eyes, you know, and look at the ears, and look at what is, and look at even the hand, and look at the joints, and, you know, what mind-boggling creation, this human body. What to talk of all the galaxies, and what to talk of Brahmanda, the whole of this cosmos. What a mind-boggling creation it is. But understand, as you know, all these mind-boggling things, that only represents a part of my glory. This is what is manifest. What you can experience is merely a part of my glory. That I sustain the entire universe by a part of me. This idea also is conveyed in Purusha Sukta and elsewhere. Padosya Vishwabhutani Tripadasya Mritam Divi. Tripadurdha Udait Purushaha Padosyaha Bhavat Punaha. Purusha Sukta says, of the Ishvara, Pad means one quarter. Padosya Vishwabhutani. All these beings and things are nothing but a quarter of the Lord. Tripadasya Mritam Divi. His immortal three quarters actually is in heaven, meaning it transcends everything, is beyond our perception. By beyond perception we mean not even inferable. The atom also is beyond perception, but that is also still perception within that because it can be inferred. Here what we mean is that this is something that can never become an object of perception. It is a very subject.
Tripadurdha Udait Purushaha Padosyaha Bhavat Punaha.
The tripad, the transcendental always remains in the heaven as though, meaning beyond our perception. It's one fourth, meaning a small little part, manifests in the whole universe, and creation, sustenance, dissolution constantly goes on. That's only in the part of the Ishvara. O Swamiji, Ishvara is one fourth of the universe. And the three-fourth is, the one-fourth and three-fourth is not intended there. You know, it is just saying here, one-fourth and three-fourth. A part. But you mean, Swamiji, Jagat is a part of Ishvara? We thought that Ishvara is partless. How is that a part? Yes, there is no part also intended there. In fact, he is partless. He is whole. He is undivided, indivisible. This is a way of saying that this represents merely a little fraction of the greatness of the Lord. And therefore, first know Him. So this is the first step of knowledge, to recognize that what is manifest, what we are experiencing is nothing but the glory of the Lord. Recognize that. And see that everywhere. So now when you see a scorpion, don't hate it. Now when you see a snake, don't hate anything. Enjoy the glory. The snake also, look at this, you know, there is a majesty there. There is a speed, there is the, you know. So, in every creature, a Lord has placed something. So, what is there in scorpion, tell me? A scorpion also can sting, you know. For recognizing this beauty and the glory, we require a certain kind of mind. With the kind of mindset that we have,
where only a few things can fit as beautiful and glory, we won't be able to see glory anywhere.
That is why the special glories are described, where any thick-headed person also can see.
But we have to become, you know, refined-headed.
And meditation upon the glories described so far will make us refined-headed. As we become sensitive, then we can see the glories everywhere. As the poets are able to see, the artists can see, the great sages can see. Well, we don't see anything. So when a Rabindranath Tagore looks at the trees, he sees, oh, the trees are talking to the heaven. That, you know, that's how he sees. I'm just looking at the tree, you know. Nothing happens to me. So just because nothing happens to me doesn't mean Ishvara is not there. People ask this, where is Ishvara? Where is God? Children also ask this question, how come I don't see God? Our answer is this, look, there is music in this hall also. Do you listen to the music here? I'm not talking about the sound coming from the loudspeakers, etc., you know, the humming sound. I'm talking about music, songs. Can you hear? You cannot hear. If you say you hear, then you have to go to doctor. No, you can't hear. But bring a transistor and tune up to the frequency and wavelength of a broadcasting station, and then you hear this very, you know, very charming music. It was there. The transistor is not created, right? It was there. We are not able to hear because our ears are not tuned. So, transistor becomes an extension of the ears where we can tune to that frequency and wavelength, and we can now sense or feel and experience what is. So, for Ishvara also, he is. And what is Ishvara? So we require a transistor. Our mind should become a transistor, which can tune up the frequency and wavelength of Ishvara. Then, what is Ishvara? So don't deny because you don't experience. People deny things because they don't see. I don't see Ishvara, so I don't believe. I don't experience Him, so I don't believe. You don't see most of the things. What you see is insignificant. What you experience also is insignificant in this creation. What do you see? And just because, how can you deny something that you don't see? In fact, what you don't see is much more than what you see. The subtle world is much greater, much more than the gross world that we experience. What wrong of Ishvara? Ekam shena sthito jagat. This gross manifestation is merely a little fraction of my total glory, the totality that I am. Therefore, Arjuna, yes, first of all, you should know this glory that I described. Meditate upon me. Make your mind sensitive. Then you can see glories everywhere. So not only your experience or perception or appreciation of glories will confine to those objects that I have described, but when your mind becomes sensitive, you see glory everywhere. Even in a mosquito also, in a fly, in a bird, in a worm, in a creature, in a plant, in a leaf, in a flower. You can see that beauty, you can see the harmony, you can see, you know, if the sensitivity is cultivated. Just cultivate that sensitivity to appreciate that this whole universe, without exception, is a manifestation of the glory of the Lord, the majesty and the greatness of the Lord. And then we'll be able to appreciate that Ishvara as our own self. Then realize that all this manifestation of one consciousness, and that consciousness is your own self. So that becomes the next step. Thus, in this manner, Lord Krishna has, in this chapter, the 10th chapter, described his glories. Now let us read the Sankalpa Vakya. Om Tat Sat. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyaya Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade
Bhūti-yogo nāma
Dashamodhyāyaha
Om Tat Sat. That is said for conclusion. So when something concludes, Om Tat Sat. That denotes the conclusion. Om means thus, it in this manner concludes the 10th chapter, Dashamodhyāyaha, the 10th chapter, which is called Vibhuti Yoga Nama. The 10th chapter whose subject matter is Vibhuti, the glories of the Lord. What is it? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, in the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad Su, which is nothing but Upanishad. Because the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is the subject matter of Upanishad. Therefore, it is not Upanishad, because it is not part of Veda, but Bhagavad Gita, which is likened to the Upanishads. And Bhagavad Gita also is plural, Upanishad also is plural. So not only one Upanishad, many Upanishads are sort of Bhagavad Gita covers. Brahma Vidyayam. What is subject matter of Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of Brahman. Yoga Shastra. So, and also the means of that knowledge, which is Yoga. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, which is Samvada dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, or Narayana and Nara. Vibhuti Yoga Nama Dashamodhyaya, this is 10th chapter, titled Vibhuti, or the glories of the Lord. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashyakrutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namah Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.